Do you know what Hebrews 13:8 says? It's not a very long verse. It simply says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now look at that verse. You ever wonder about that? How is that possible? How is it that possible that Jesus is the same and never changes? For that matter, how is it possible that God can always have existed and always will exist? Well, the key to understanding that is the realization that there's a connection between these two facts about an everlasting God and a God who doesn't change. Your mind ought to put those two things together. He is God. He is everlasting because he never changes. That's not to say he's static or dead or inert. That just says he is always the same way he is. Active, living, moving. But he's always the same. You see, if we can understand this, we do a better job of understanding this thing we call time. And if we really think about time in terms of our God and his timelessness, then we come to understand we start with this, and it is a startling realization that in one sense, there is no such thing as time. You find that statement a bit surprising? It is. In one sense, there is no such thing as time. There is only change. Now, your mind and mine rebel at such a notion because we're so used to talking about time as if it's real, as if it's constant. But time, and when we talk about time, it's really a shorthand way of our describing change, is it not? Because apart from change, there is no time. Now, think about it. How do you measure time, right? Well, what is a day? A day is the rate of change of the spin of the earth. When it spins around completely one time, that change, that's a day. What is a year? A year is that rate of change of the earth going around the sun. Is it not? When it does it one time, we say that changes, or that's a year. What's a decade? A decade is when that changes happens 10 times, right? And on it goes with every measurement of time that we have. It's tied to some kind of change. Did you know that even the atomic clock that they have in Greenwich, England, you know what it's measuring? The change of vibrations in atomic particles that's inside that clock. That's how we measure time by change. What did Albert Einstein point out to us in the year 1906? He said, hey folks, you know what? This thing called time that we think is so constant, it's actually variable. It's varies with different speeds. If one thing travels at a different speed from something else, the change takes place at a different rate, and therefore time is different for this object than for that object. The law of relativity, he called it. But that's the way it is. Now, if my talking about that or understanding that about that is kind of hard to grasp, don't be surprised. It really blows our minds. We're so accustomed to thinking that time is real that we can't shake the notion. But you see, in one sense, where does time and where does the past and where does the future only exist? In our minds, in our understanding. You and I think the past is real, therefore, in an important sense, but it's not. It's not. You and I think the future exists, but actually it only exists, in a sense, in our minds. It isn't real. It isn't here yet. What exists? The only thing that exists is the present. Is right now. And when is it not right now? Sounds real funny to say, but it is always right now. You see, that's where God lives and where God has always lived. in the now. And therefore, it can be said of God, as the Bible says, 1,000 years, well, that's just like an evening gone. It's just like a moment to God. And a moment is the same as 1,000 years. Because as the Bible says, and it's said of Jesus Christ, never changes, always the same, living in the now. Now, if you and I think that that is just an intellectual exercise, what we ought to move on to is appreciate knowing this, knowing that the present is all we have. That can lead to our feeling peace and having understanding, happiness, fulfillment, and a whole lot more, because it calls us to quit living in the past as if the past is real. And it calls us to quit living into the future, projecting ahead, when the Bible says, hey, don't do that. Jesus says, don't do that. You guys live right here, right now. When you think about it, a lot of our worries, a lot of our anxieties, a lot of our sadness, and a lot of our troubles we're experiencing either from one place or the other, we're really fretting about the past and what happened to us. And yet, and we understand that the past only exists a whole lot in our memories of them. But the people or the things which hurt us, or the mistakes that we've made, or the bad experiences that we went through, or the unpleasant situations we went through, so many of them don't exist anymore. Except where? Right here, in our memories. We keep reliving them. We keep them alive. I talked a little bit about this last Sunday morning. We keep letting them drag us down, even though, in a sense, they don't exist anymore. Now, last week I was talking about Christian Deal. And he's a Christian counselor. And he sits down and he listens to people and their problems. He recounts one lady he was talking to who was just so full of anger and just so full of fretfulness and anxiety because of what this pastor told her, the awful things that he said to her. And as Deal listened to what the guy said, he couldn't believe that a Christian pastor would say such things to another person. And he could see how hurt she was and how angry she was about the things that he said to her. Finally, he asked the lady, he said, "Now, when did he say all these things to you?" And she fairly shouted it out to him and said, "It was August 12th, 1933. And Deal thought, well, this is 1978. This woman has been thinking about this, worrying about this for 45 years. And here it is, still causing her all this pain. The pastor who said it had died a long time ago. But he was still very much alive and bothering her. Where? In her memory. In short, she was doing it to herself. And we can say, oh, that's kind of sick, isn't it? That's kind of sick. Well, you and I do that to ourselves. We just do it with different stuff or with different people or with different memories. I know. Sometimes I recall something stupid I did, and there's more than one stupid thing I've done in my life, believe me. Or something I said that I look back and say, "Now, oh man, that was just so bad." And if I think about those things, I can get ashamed. I can get embarrassed. I can feel negative emotions and regret just welling up inside of me, and I'm experiencing that thing all over again. But if I press on to think about it some more, I realize, man, that happened decades ago. Why are you still letting it bother you? And probably the people that knew about it or were involved, or maybe I might have hurt their feelings or something like that, even if they're still alive, I could go back to them and probably say, "Hey, you remember that time I said this stupid thing?" And 9 times out of 10, they'd go, "Well, yeah, I kind of remember something about that, but shoot, I just about forgot about that." That is the way it is with a whole lot of things. Why do we torment ourselves and relive stuff that bothers us? What we need to do so many times is call our hands on this, call our minds' hands on this, and let it go. Let it go. It's in the past. It doesn't exist anymore in that sense. And therefore, it's liberating. absolutely liberating. Don't you read your Bible and you see that Jesus was in the business of liberating people from their past? Don't you see it time and again when you really look for it in this way? This woman was caught in adultery, right? She'd committed the act of adultery. There was no question about that. And Jesus wasn't a whole lot interested in stoning her or ending her life like a lot of other people were that day. And what did he say to her after all the critics went away? And, you know, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And nobody could do that. And it was just Jesus and that woman. And he said what to her? Hey, lady, go and sin no more. You know, Jesus was willing to let her past go. Just let it go. And today, now right here, right now, don't sin anymore. When he was hanging on the cross and there was a thief on each side and one was criticizing him and one was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say to that guy? He said, you're a thief. He didn't use these words, but this is what he basically said. You're a thief. We'll let that go. That's your past. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Not in the future, not in the past, but today. Jesus liberates people. He forgives them their past. He doesn't drag it with them. He's the God of today. And oftentimes we need to forgive not only others, but forgive ourselves. Forgo the self-torment of hanging on to the past, a past which it doesn't define us. It doesn't limit us. Jesus isn't going to drag it along and define us and limit us by our past. Thank the Lord for that. What a gift of grace. We are called not to do that as well. Deal with our past by often letting it go. Live when? You can't live in the past, and you can't live in the future. Called to live today because right now is all that there is. And if we are alive today, we are more alert and alive than we have ever been. This is one mistake we make. Living in the past. The other mistake is trying to live in the future. Get all anxious, get all worried about the future. Well, that's kind of silly because in one sense, the future doesn't exist any more than the past does. Why should we torment ourselves with what if? You come up with a lot of what ifs in your life, don't you? What if I get sick? Well, are you sick now? No, but what if I do? Worry, 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 worry. What if I lose my job? What if I lose this loved one I cherish so deeply? What if I get injured? What if I make a mistake? Do you know any worry warts? What are they worried about? They're worried about the future. Did you ever worry about something so very, 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 very badly, and then the time showed up that you worried about, and what you worried about didn't show up? It wasn't there. It didn't happen. And I think studies indicate that when they really analyze what people worry about 98% of it never happens. Never happens. But if you worry about them, where are they happening? In your mind, and when are they happening? Right now. Right now. Because you and I try to live in the future. Have you ever been talking with somebody and they say, well, we never know what's going to happen? And then somebody will, I've heard this so many times, people will say, well, it's a good thing we don't know the future. Why? Because we would just worry about it right now. That is so very, very true. It's a good thing we don't know the future. That's why Jesus didn't seem to have much use for the future. He told us not to worry about it. How far ahead did he say we should not bother to worry about the future? What did Ray read for us this morning from Matthew 6? How far ahead did he say, well, don't worry about a month from now? Did he say, don't worry about a week from now? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't bother living the future, even into tomorrow. Well, why not? Well, Jesus said, well, tomorrow has enough worries for itself. You can just kind of take care of that when it shows up, right? And I think he also would have said, what can you do about it? What can you do about it? Actually, not a whole lot less than you and I think. You got Jesus' attitude toward the future. What was that story he told about a man who had all these big crops, and he decided, man, I got a whole lot of crops. I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to store it up, and I'm going to have enough for take care of myself when? In the future. And Jesus says, God comes to a guy like that, and he says, oh, you fool. You fool. This day, today, your soul is required of you. And then who's going to own your stuff? Jesus concerned with what? The future? No. He said, today. What are you living for today? Jesus constantly invites us to live where God lives, and that's in the present. That's where God always lives. In the ever-present now. For you see, for God, it has always been now. I know that's hard to grasp. It's hard for me to understand. It really is. Everything in this universe changes. It's changing all the time. It's constantly changing. The only constant about change is it's constantly changing. But God stays the same. Whenever something doesn't change, we say time stood still. If we could recreate it, things exactly they were in the 1700s, we'd say, oh, we're going back in time. No, we're just changing things back to the way they were. It's really funny, this thing we think of when we talk about time. Jesus calls us to quit making this mistake. Quit living in the past. Another time he said, nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. He says, don't look back. And then, remember that time that Jesus' followers asked him to tell us about heaven. Oh, come on, Jesus, tell us about heaven. What did he say? He said, no, I'm not going to bother to tell you about heaven because you'll try to live there. You'll try to live in the future. He knew that heaven was real. He knew that heaven was coming and all that for all of us. But he said, you guys, don't live there, okay? I want you to live right here, right now. So I'm not going to tell you about heaven. He wants his followers to live in the present. And I believe if you go back and reread the words of Jesus looking for this, you'll find that that is his constant emphasis and attention. Master Eichert, who is a 13th century spiritual leader, summed it up beautifully. He said, time is what keeps the light from reaching us. There is no greater obstacle to God than time. There is no greater obstacle to God than time. He wasn't talking about God having a problem with time. He was talking about us having a problem with time, preoccupied with the past, preoccupied with the future, and not living right now. How many times have you heard the expression, hey, man, you just got to stop and smell the roses? Raise your hand if you've heard that expression before. There's not a person in this room who hasn't heard the expression, you got to stop and smell the roses. What does that mean? Is it possible to stop and smell the roses that are coming in the future? No, it's got to be the roses that are here right now. And it's not talking about roses, really, is it? It's talking about blessings or good things or good experiences. And you have to stop. Stop doing what? Stop trying to live in the future to smell the roses that are right here, right now. Roses don't last all year round, do they? You got roses for a season, for a while. If you don't smell them now when they're here, they're gone, right? So we understand that. There's probably something very important in your life right in here, right now, today, that you keep putting off to the future. What is it? What is it? Probably be 100 different things for 100 different people in here, but there's something that you have to quit putting off. You've probably also heard the expression carpe diem. You know the Latin two words, carpe diem. What does it mean? What? Seize the day. If you ask Jesus, said, well, can I seize tomorrow? He said, no. You can't, because you don't even have tomorrow. All you have is today, right now, today. So see, that's a very wise saying. I don't know where it came from, Latin. Seize the day, because that's the only day that is. You remember the song that Harry Chapin sang, The Cat's in the Cradle? Oh, you hear it on the radio still, right? The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. What's that song about? It's about a dad who, when his kid was little, didn't have time for his boy. Didn't have time to play catch. Didn't have time to play with him. His son said, that's okay. His dad was busy, what? Working, traveling, going places, doing things for the future. And finally he gets to the future. I've long been since retired and my son's moved away. And the song goes on, and what happens? The little boy grew up to be a man who was just like his dad. Didn't have time for his dad because he was going to live in the future too. Going to be just like his dad. Next time you hear that song, think about time. How often is a little boy 5 years old? And when will he ever be five again? It's a great song. Moves on many different levels, but think about that one. Calling us to seize the moment right now. One of the blessings of being a grandparent is, hey, you know this, don't you? You saw how quickly your children grow up. And therefore, when you look at your grandchildren, you say, aha, that little bugger is only going to be a little for a short while. And so therefore, as a grandparent, you are willing to drop what you're doing right now to play with that five-year-old. Because you know they won't be five very long. They'll be eight, then they'll be 13, and they don't want to mess with their grandparents, right? Huh? Oh, yeah, they do. But we know what's going on there. We appreciate the right now. Jesus pointed out that animals are smarter than human beings when it comes to dealing with time, right? He said, think about the birds. Do the birds work for the future? Do the birds toil, spin? Do they store up stuff in barns? Do birds do that? No. But God takes care of them just fine, thank you very much. And they aren't even aware that there is such a thing as a future. If you could have a conversation with a bird and you say, hey, bird, what time is it? What answer do you think the bird will say? The bird will say, time. Well, what is time? I don't know what time is. All I know is it's right now. Doesn't matter how often you ask the bird that question, he's going to come up with the same answer. It's now. It's right now. Jesus said the birds are smarter about this than human beings. They know when to live for right now. You see, the trick is to use clock time. Clock time is very useful. You and I use it all the time. Very practical for getting by in life and making the most of it. It's wise to use clock time, but we must let go of psychological time. There's a difference. Psychological time is this rabid identification with the past. The past defines me. The past determines who I am. It does not. Or it is, on the other hand, this continuous, compulsive projection into the future. What am I going to be? What am I going to be? What am I going to be? Don't live there, says God. Live here with me right now. We can make clock time all the time. We can use it. We can make appointments. That's good. I do it all the time. You can plan a trip. That's a good thing to do. You can learn from mistakes that you made before and decide, well, I'm not going to do that again. Oh, clock time is very, very useful. But it should not keep us focused anywhere except the present. So we can live now. We can let go of the self-criticism. We can let go of the remorse. We can let go of the guilt trips we throw on ourselves and honor what God is making of you today. Today. If you don't think there's a difference between clock time and psychological time, consider this. When you're doing something you really enjoy, when it's great, you're really having a good time, how fast does time go? What's the old saying? Time sure flies when you're having fun. Time sure flies when you're having fun. Oh man, it's time to go already? Gee, I was just enjoying myself. Compare that to the times when you're bored, okay? Or you're just at a job that's real drudgery, you hate what you're doing, you're watching the clock, you know. How fast does time move then? Just drags, doesn't it? That clock just will not move. What's the difference? Is clock time moving at a different rate? Nope. Psychological time is. Hey, that's our problem in our minds. And there's something that you can do about that today. You can believe Jesus and you can trust God with right now. Right now. Because it's always right now. I think we need help doing this. Let's pray. Oh God, you who stand in the midst of everything, present, now, always, we marvel at your ability to do that. And we thank you for calling us to live with you there. Forgive us for dragging the past with us. Forgive us for trying to get ahead of you because you haven't given us tomorrow, not yet. Help us, Lord, to live today to the fullest for Jesus Christ. Amen.